Now, this is going to get our next guest into the mood. He was big time here on the 40 in the 80s when I think this would have been popping. It is a Fat Tuesday. We got the All-American Rod Babers. I'm Kevin Dunn. John Reichel is spinning this stuff for us. And whew, we're going to have some good 80s stuff coming up. Let's get to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline and welcome in one of our favorites. It is the former Texas second baseman, the best Texas State baseball coach ever, and really turned that program into something else. And now he's doing great stuff with ESPN Plus, covering the SWAC. Did a good job with that tournament. That would be one Ty Harrington. Ty, welcome to the show, sir.
Man, I'm going to tell you what. You guys just know how to spin the right music. The only thing missing is I don't have the same hairdo.
No, that's changed a little bit. Ty, I got to give you a lot of love. I was running around today, and I'm pretty adamant about I'm not going to use my phone unless I'm stuck at a long red light. And we were trying to get the time down today, and so I used that voice command at a red light. And I forgot what I was even trying to say. It's like 9 o'clock this morning, and I said, you know, appreciate it, coach, or appreciate it, Ty. You know, we'll talk to you then. And this is what came out on the voice command: Bloom cowered to it. And Ty just gives me two question marks. You must have been thinking, what the hell is going on, Kevin?
There were a lot of questions in my mind.
What
was going on? I can tell you that.
That is the voice command. So be careful with the voice command. Hey, coach, you did a great job on the SWAC tournament. I know you've been following college baseball and following this Texas team all year. They were clearly the most dominant team in this regional. They ran through it. You know, you've coached in a lot of regionals. You've won a lot of regionals. Going back to your time as a player, as an assistant coach, have you seen someone be that dominant in a regional in your life?
No, I have not. I'm going to tell you what. That was as dominating as, you know, obviously Notre Dame, I think, ran through theirs pretty good. But in all of my years of watching regionals, being a part of regionals, I don't know that I've ever seen anything go like that. Honest to goodness, double-figure runs in all the games. They're pitch. Hey, look, when you're running your closer, when you're running Nixon and Cantania out there on the last game of regional just to get them work, that is something different.
Yeah,
I'll say that right now. I'm just telling you. And there was not a facet of the game that they weren't unbelievable. They have their foot on the accelerator right now, about as good as you can. And it was so much fun. And let me tell you what else. I went out there Friday, all 3 days, and Saturday night, that place was on fire. That place was rocking like I have not heard it in so long. Hmm. And I look out there, Zuvia sticks his hand out of the dugout when one of the pitchers was struggling for them to throw strikes. And he just kind of gradually pulls his hands, like trying to get the crowd even more into it, what they were. And that place was vibrating. It was so loud. And it was so much fun, brought back so many memories for me personally. But, you know, hey, everybody's been pent up for a year wanting to show their love for Longhorns.
Yeah.
And anything, man, you put 7,000 of them in there, and things were going so great, and so many awesome things were happening. And that place was just unreal to be a part of. I had goosebumps on my arms, in the back of my head, so many times throughout all that. And for them to play so well and to, you know, I mean, it just was a lot of fun to experience. And, man, I tell you what, it's going to be a lot of fun growing into this weekend as well.
Hey, Coach, you know, considering how well they played and, you know, the psychology that's at work here, you know, you as a coach, how would you handle this week? Right. What would you emphasize this week? You know, are you, because the guys played so well, do you want to be uber critical of the guys? You don't want them getting too high on themselves, or do you let them feel that confidence, let that confidence flow, become infectious throughout that locker room? Like, what's your approach as a coach, considering how they played and where they are right now?
I think that a handful of things. First, they're going to dance with what it's got them to this part right now. You know, I mean, they're going to stay with the same process. And I guarantee Coach Pierce and his whole staff and his, you know, seniors, everybody right now is reminding everybody, hey, let's don't let the prize get ahead of the process right now. Hmm. Let's don't do that. Let's stay with what we have been really good at all year long. I'm sure that they're probably building up, you know, South Florida to be as good as, you know, they are pretty good, by the way. When you start digging in their stats and you start doing some things, they're better than most of the teams probably that were in this past regional. But the reality is they're probably building them up and saying, hey, we got to do this. But they have been so consistent for the whole year, excluding that first weekend, which I think was a motivation for them and an inspiration for them, truly. I just think they have been the same guys every game, every moment. I just would be feel assured that practice this week is going to be the same, and I'm sure their approaches, the coaches, the players, everybody's approach is going to be the same. Why change something now? Mm-hmm. My goodness, I mean, this thing is, I mean, again, they've got their foot on the accelerator, you know, about as hard as and firm as they can right now. And so I'm sure they're trying to remind them, hey, let's keep this all in the same, you know, process. Let's don't get ahead of ourselves, and let's just keep doing what we're doing. And I'm sure they picked out a handful of things. You remember that. They probably picked out a handful of things during the game that maybe didn't do as well as they wanted to. There were maybe a handful of base running things you could go in and grab out of there and maybe a couple of things that, you know, offensively, but not many. But I'm sure the process is still the same for them. These guys have mostly been the same all year long. I don't expect them to change.
Ty Harrington on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline joining us here to talk some college baseball. And, you know, Ty, when I think of three states, California, Texas, and Florida, and you were certainly a part of this at a school like Texas State, man, you get some mid-majors that can flat-out ball, and you get guys like Paul Goldschmidt or some of the people that you had that are major league stars, and it's not a mid-major that you'd find in a different state where there's maybe not as much talent. When you look at South Florida and what they're going to bring to Austin, how good is this team?
They're better than I think they were. Obviously, they're way better than what they were early in the year. I went back and just kind of glanced to find out a little bit more just out of coach curiosity. And, you know, I think they lost 12 out of their first 21. And so it was a struggle for them. I think what they do, and Coach Wall is, you know, now you got to back up a little bit. In 2005, he was part of Tulane's World Series team. And so he's a pitching guru guy. Now, he understands pitching. So what they do, when you go in there and you look at a lot of their games, he relieves really well. What happens in college baseball sometimes, we relieve out of, and it's too late. Right, relieve out of something already, as opposed to guys who relieve ahead of time and planning for what that moment, and already playing that moment in their head. And I think if you go in and you look, their bullpen has had to chew up a lot of innings. Their starters are good enough by any standard. No, they're good enough. They throw a lot of strikes. They have a lot of strikeouts. But the reality is, I think they manipulate and navigate their bullpen really well. The advantage that Texas has right now, even though they're starting a day later, I was really hopeful it was going to be a Friday start. That really would have helped them even more. But the reality was, having to go those two games, finish one and then play the other, it chewed up their bullpen a little bit more. Obviously, their adrenaline, obviously they're going to be excited about being here. But the physicality of a long season and then having to, you know, get back out there and face a Texas lineup, I think is going to be a really challenge for that bullpen and their starters. And they may ask their starter to go a little bit longer on Saturday as well.
Coach, well, why would it be such a bigger deal or a big deal for Texas to start a day earlier?
Well, I just think for Texas, because I think their bullpen would have been that much even more tired, 24 more hours, you know, without rest from what they had to accomplish over the last 3 days of that term. They pitched under duress the whole time when you get right down to it. They're opening night on Friday against Florida, and they're not expected to win. They're having to pitch under duress. That wasn't a cakewalk for them. Yeah. And then for South Alabama to really stretch them on Monday and make them play every out to the end, to the bitter end, it's a stressful, duressful way to pitch and play. And then all of a sudden you're happy, you're jubilant, and then all of a sudden you realize you wake up the next morning and you start watching tape on these cats you're about to play in Texas. And it'll wear you down a little bit. And so I think that extra day of rest, kind of getting them on Saturday, maybe helps South Florida a little bit. But again, Texas's lineup right now, they're playing, they've been so opportunistic all year long. And, their free base percentage and against their strikeouts is unreal. I mean, that is through the roof what those guys are able to do. And their base running, when you start looking at how many, you know, 80-something steals out of 100 tries. I mean, that is unreal what these guys have been able to do. They can beat you with the wind blowing in, the wind blowing out, the wind blowing across. It does not matter. And they've been able to do it. That's why I hope, I really hope, and not just as an alum and a fan, but, man, it's going to be fun to watch those guys, if they do it, to watch them in Omaha, because they really set up well for that field. And with the wind doing so many different things, but really blowing in out of that downtown area. It's going to be fun. And hopefully they're able to pull it off this weekend.
Hey, Coach, we saw Coach Pierce decide to go with Tristan Stevens to start things off in the regionals. Would you just continue with that rotation? Would you change things up based on the matchup? What are your thoughts about Tristan Stevens or Ty Madden starting things off for Texas?
Well, either one of them. I mean, you're talking about choosing between two of the best in the country. I think there's a matchup in there that keeps him on the rotation coming out of last week. Doesn't put Tristan too far away from his last start. Same for Ty. And so I think you could have done it all year long either way. Tristan's a little more efficient probably with his pitches. And where Madden just beats you down with those strikeouts and that velo and that breaker. And I think you're splitting hairs when you get right down to that, to between those two, to be honest with you.
Ty, when we look at a couple guys Ivan Melendez had a phenomenal year, we know that, but struggled a little bit in the Big 12 tournament. What are you seeing from his swing? And then also a guy who I feel like his swing's been pretty good all year, Trey Faltini. What about those two guys offensively that you're seeing right now?
Man, I tell you what, I think they've been really good. I think Faltini, from the beginning of the year to now, has improved so much. He has a lot of flexibility in his swing. His ability to get out and get after breakers running away or fastballs in has improved over the year. I think with Melendez, it's a matter of, it's hard to hit 330 in college baseball nonstop. And again, one of the things that I think you face when you're a Big 12 lineup is you're facing great arms year round. I mean, you don't see bad arms, and really on the weekends you're not. So you go to the Big 12 tournament, and you've seen these guys already, if you've played them once, they're going to have a better idea how to attack you. I think they went out, maybe they attacked him a little bit. Who knows? Maybe he just had a couple of days where, it's baseball, man, It's hard to be an offensive player when you're facing 95 to 98 these days, which is what you're facing, nonstop in the Big 12. But that lineup, 1 through 9, when you got to go get that lineup 27 outs, and that lineup 1 through 9, there's so many different ways that they attack you with their bunt game, their run game, their power game. They take their walks. They take their bases. They are able to do anything and everything to score runs. And 27 outs, let me tell you something, that group is some kind of hard to get out on a regular. You might get them and trick them occasionally here and there, but through the course of a 27-out game, they're tough on you.
Hey, Coach, I want to ask you about something obviously it's more of a macro subject, the name, image, and likeness legislation that's spreading like wildfire all across the country. Texas will have its own name, image, and likeness legislation passed pretty soon whenever Governor Abbott signs it into law. What are your thoughts about it, how this changes the landscape of student athletics and amateurism as we know it? And you being a former coach, what is it? Some coaches seem intimidated by this, and some coaches seem to be embracing this new era. What are your thoughts about it, and how you think it's going to affect college baseball?
I don't know for sure. I think, we're getting into uncharted waters, right? This is new. Change is difficult sometimes and uncomfortable on either side of it. I think there's going to be, issues that we cross or that they cross going through this that they're going to have a better sense of, and others are going to, kind of basically trip over it at different times. But I think the student athlete is important, and they have been a huge part of why the success of college athletics is today, right? So they need to share in certain parts of this and be a part of it. To what level and how we govern that, how the NCAA governs it or the individual universities, is always going to be a challenge, in so many different areas. But to answer your question, it's going to change college athletics because the Power Fives and the bigger schools, I think, they're going to have some abilities that other schools aren't going to have because kids are going to, their likeness and other are going to show up maybe more in those conferences than others, And so how do they work their way through that? I think it's a process that the NCAA is not completely ready for yet. I think it's going to be a trial by fire at different times, and I think you'll see different pieces of that legislation change as it goes on, trying to figure out the right way through it. I don't think you change the dynamic of college athletics like that without there being some bumps along the way to try to get it ironed out the best way.
Totally agree. Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to figure out, and we've talked about it, there are going to be some things that just don't work, and they're going to have to be flexible and be nimble with that. Ty Harrington joining us here on the Horn. Coach, you know, we're down to 16 right now, and it is baseball. I mean, you could probably look at any 16 of these teams and say, yeah, I could see a path for them to somehow win the national championship. When you look at Texas in their field and the path ahead of them, how confident are you that they could maybe bring home number 7 or at least get to that point where there's a realistic shot?
Well, I think there's a realistic chance. I really do, or shot, however you want to refer to it. I think this team is, again, I've talked about their to me, I'm on the outside, but watching them at a close, their confidence level and the way they go about their business is really professional, really professional. The way they play the game, they don't create big innings for you. They don't create opportunity for you. And when you know, a lot of times in college baseball, your starting pitching are your best guys. When you go to the bullpen, it kind of goes down some. When these guys go to the bullpen, it does not. those arms back on the back end of that have been so impressive. That's why you don't see them lose very many games late. And that's, you know, I mean, again, you go back to the Friday night game against TCU where they're holding on to a one-run lead and they bring Nixon into a little bit of a storm, runner first, second, nobody out, and he gets out of it and works their way through. They just had an air about them that they were going to win. And I think that part of it keeps going and building for them. I think they have the right offensive. And it all goes back to, Kevin, you know this because you love the 80s. It all goes back to their pitching and their defense when you get right to it. I said this 2 weeks ago. They have reinvented how sexy it can be to play infield and how to play defense. These guys are some kind of fun to watch play defense and how they do it. And so I think there is a path. They have created a path for themselves to try to go out this weekend, take care of their business, and then, you know, and play well and keep that momentum going. Win, most importantly, win. And then, you know, if they're fortunate enough, and which I think they will be, and get into Omaha, I think they've got a more than a legitimate chance to go out there and try to win a national championship again. Because you know what? You know what Longhorns love to do? They love to win championships.
Yes, sir.
They just won another one last weekend. They got another one coming up this weekend. And the crowd acts like it without any doubt. I mean, we all love winning championships. This weekend's another chance at it.
Ty, you're the best, man. Always good stuff. We appreciate that. We're going to drag Rod out there. We're going to get to Bob's, all of us, and get a nice steak here pretty soon.
Now, wait a minute. I'm going to end this before you cut me off. And I was going to say this at the very beginning. Rod, you and I got to hold Kevin to the idea. If we're going to do this and hold him up during this segment, he's at least got to take us to Bob's, right?
Yeah, no doubt. I'm on. I'm in, brother.
I tell you what, I'll text you tomorrow morning. Mm-hmm. No voice command, Ty. We appreciate it, brother. Talk to you soon, all right?
All right, gentlemen. Thank you.
Thanks, Ty Harrington, man. He is one of us.
He's awesome.
Can't you see why you'd want to play for Ty Harrington?
Yeah, and I see why he does television now, too.
Right, both those things.
Yeah, yeah. He's got a great personality. And he's right about the Bob Steak and Chalk House thing.
Hey.
Get that pork chop.
I will call Sal. Mm-hmm. We'll get that thing
just
done.
I'll go if Coach wants to go. I want to go hang out with Coach a little bit, too.
You just don't want to hang out with?
No, I want to hang out with you, too. But
oh, how dare you?
Yeah, we hang out with you every day.
I don't blame you. You don't get to hang out with Ty Harrington.
That's what I'm saying. I've never hung out with Coach. So like, hey, I want to go when Coach goes.
We'll get that done. I saw Ty and his daughter there after a Texas game. And he's just one of those people. I mean, there were people, and there were even people near the bar area that were like, Is that? And I was like, yeah, it's Ty Harrington. They're like, I was like, he's one of the nicest guys in the world. Don't go up to him right now because he's having dinner with his daughter. But of course, I did.
I know you guys are cool because you call him Ty. Once a guy's a coach to me, I always call him Coach.
I went back and forth there because he still coached me too.
Yeah, but I know you guys are close, so now you Ty because you guys are good friends. But yeah, Coach is always a coach. Yeah, I think that, and coaches I think like that too.
I think they do, too.
I think with coach, even when they're like, oh, like, Bucky still, I think, likes being called a coach every now and then.
He does.
Yeah, even though he hadn't been a coach in, like, 20 years.
No, and even though you said earlier that you could have, you'd have no problem covering him, which
I would slam Bucky if I was bumping on Bucky. I would. You guys know that's true.
I mean, I'm sure
Bucky was great.
I don't know if you could cover Cotton
Exactly. I wouldn't do that to Cotton Spire.
But you'd be able to cover Bucky.
Bucky,
call up. I want to hear Bucky.
I'd be talking trash to Bucky. I'd be talking trash. I'd be treat him like Floyd Mayweather treats opponents. I'd just be toying with him. I really would be. I'd be baiting the quarterback, acting like he's open. He's open deep. No, he ain't. I kid the Bucks, sir. All right, let's
kind of kidding.
Kind of kidding. No, I actually would dominate him, but I will disrespect him because Bucky was a good player.
He was.
I believe I could cover Bucky. That's all I'll say.
I won't choke slam
him.
No one else here could cover Bucky. You'd be the only one.
Oh, you know what?
No one else on the horn. Bucky was a D1 player,
that's
man.
That's true. Nobody else could cover Bucky.
None of us were.
I guess I'm the only one that could cover Buck.
Yeah.
There you go. I like that. Bucky's just trying to do a push-up these days, so we're just happy with that.
Oh, I could cover him right now. I'm talking about back in the day.
All right, let's talk about actually college football. I want to get into some college football. There was a piece in Yahoo Sports that was done really theorizing, hypothesizing about the expansion of the college football playoff. And apparently there is some scuttlebutt about that the expansion of the college football playoff could be coming sooner rather than later. We'll get into that on the other side in Roch Rant of the Day, right here on the Triple Option with RBKD, right here on 104.9, 101.9, and AM 1260.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Find out what happens when people stop being polite and start getting real.
You ain't keeping it real.
My God! Okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
You've done it now. It's time for Rod's Rant of the Day.
Hold on to your butts.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. Time for Rod's Rant of the Day. And this time I want to get to a piece by Pete Thamel in Yahoo Sports. In Yahoo Sports, like it's actually at Yahoo Sports, in it, like it's actually a publication that people read, like a physical copy of a magazine.
That's kind of that Northeast
in Yahoo
thing.
Sports.
Speaking of Anthony Bourdain, he's Northeasterners, especially New Yorkers, always say, I'm standing online. When we grew up, you're standing in line.
Yeah, right? That is weird. Standing
different preposition.
Online.
I'm standing online.
That would freak me out.
And they're really sticklers about it. And
I
they'll
know.
Get on you. What do you mean you're standing in the line?
I know. That is weird because online to me automatically to me means
online.
Yeah. On the line. I'm standing online. Man, that's weird. There you go. Well, so Pete Thamel, he is claiming that we are approaching a very critical point in the future of the college football playoff. He says in his piece, I'll read the excerpt, the next 3 weeks offer a critical period in charting what the future of the college football playoff will look like. He said a pair of college football playoff committee meetings are expected to decide a specific recommendation with a final decision, details, and television contract determined later this fall. Yahoo Sports spoke to more than a dozen stakeholders Monday on every side of the playoff decision. University officials, ADs, media executives, and others around college sports. Amid those conversations, a surprise emerged, KD. Officials on campuses, in conference offices, and in the television network world have expressed an openness toward a 12-team playoff as the most likely result. Oh, I'm going to think KD's out. He's upset about this. Yep, he's done. I knew this would affect KD in a very emotional way.
I'm cool with 6, maybe 8.
They say
12.
They said the reason that you go to 12.
Right now?
Well, in the more foreseeable future. They said the reason you go to 12 is because you can develop the road of least resistance toward a good result.
What the hell does that mean?
That basically means, and I agree with you, but I'll tell you what that means. And I think they make a good point with
that
statement.
Good results taking away the importance of the regular season, which separates this sport unlike any other?
No, they're not concerned with that.
I know they're not. Yeah. I am because I actually care about the sport.
Yeah, they're not concerned. What they are concerned about, they're tired of upsetting these really powerful conference commissioners and these these university presidents and athletic directors.
Everyone
pretty
gets
much
a trophy.
So basically, with the four-team playoff, they've left a lot of teams out. Pretty much, you can name almost one or two teams from every Power Five league that has been shafted as a result of the four-team playoff.
Right.
If you go to eight, there's very likely going to be other teams from Power Five leagues that will also get shafted, who are, in some people's opinion, deserving. If you go to 12...
Have they been watching the 4-1 outside of Ohio State in the national yeah. championship year? Because I would tell you that we'd actually be okay at 2 or 3.
Look,
I don't want that.
Alabama's at a different level than everybody else, though.
I'd actually go to 6.
They,
that's what I'd go to and give 1 and 2 some love for being 1 and 2.
Exactly. I think they know at 6 they're still going to upset the wrong people.
Oh, stop. Stop worrying about that.
You know that's what they're worried about.
They're also caring about, they also care about just the bottom line and the money. And
yes.
They don't care about
that also helps
a lot of us make that what separates college football is that there actually are playoff games in October. You just got to know what you're watching.
Yeah. This Yahoo Sports article says officials familiar with the college football playoff process stress that an entire process still needs to play out. The first step will come in Chicago on July 17th and 18th when the four-member working group tasked for nearly the past 2 years with exploring expansion reports its findings to the college football playoff management committee. Damn, it's a lot of red tape.
Mm.
This is a bureaucratic nightmare. Then the four-member working working group will present the findings to a group made up of SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey, Big 12 Commissioner Bob Boltzmann, Notre Dame AD Jack Swarbrick, and Mountain West Commissioner Craig Thompson. The 2 days of discussion by the management committee are expected to yield a singular recommendation for the following week. That's when the College Football Playoff Board of Managers, another group, this is like 3 or 4 different groups now, this has got to go through, a group of 11 presidents
some
and chancellors.
Some bureaucracy, you're telling me?
Yeah, from the 10 FBS commissioners and Notre Dame, because you got to give Notre Dame
of
some
course.
Love. We'll
and by the way, y'all have fun with that. I
yeah,
can
exactly.
understand you mocking that on the
and that's how you know,
Notre Dame.
That's how you know they're trying to please a lot of people, right? They're trying to just go with the path of least resistance that pleases the most people. That's how you go, oh, we got to include Notre Dame. Notre Dame, come on. Because they don't need anybody with power and influence upset with them.
Yep.
You wouldn't know why this is coming out now. It's because the NCAA is probably as fragile as we've ever seen them. They're probably as vulnerable as they've ever been in the history of the NCAA. They got a Supreme Court coming down on them, talking trash on
them.
Name, image, likeness. By the way, the name, image, and likeness thing, the reason the name, image, and likeness thing shows you how much people hate the NCAA is because it's getting bipartisan support. It's passing in the House. I mean, you're getting like it's barely anybody opposed to it. You're getting like single digits that are voting against it, as opposed
that's
to
unheard of in politics,
it's
right
unheard,
now.
Especially these days.
These days,
you're getting
right.
Republicans and Democrats who are saying, "Yeah, the NCAA they deserve to get shafted in this deal. Let's give these student athletes a little bit more power. Let's give them a little bit more, you know, let's give them more freedom. Give them a little more perks for being a student athlete." But anyway,
let's give
I digress.
Them what they actually earned.
Yeah, exactly. So, but the NCAA is being attacked from all sides. Like the NCAA has, they're like Tom Herman here in his last days. They have no allies.
Mm-hmm.
There's no university presidents don't like them. ADs don't like them. The networks don't like them that much either.
Fans don't like them.
Nobody really likes the NCAA. So this is them trying to curry favor, if you will. So anyway, they're going to examine all the possible options and they're going to come up with their own recommendation. And basically Pete Thamel was saying the recommendation right now that you're hearing through the grapevine from every different, entity, whether it be TV networks or universities or these college football playoff commissions, if you will, and these different committees they have. He says everybody's looking at a 12-team playoff. He said, I do believe they've looked at all kinds of different things. This is an industry source, but I haven't even heard an option B discussed in any detail. All you hear right now is 12.
That's
12.
Just, yeah.
You said that's all you keep hearing. Not the 6,
and by
not
the way,
8, not the 10,
way.
12.
So for me, when Chad or whoever would always say, why don't we go to 6 or 8? I would always say these people are so power hungry and money hungry, they're going to keep on expanding and expanding and expanding. Guess who was right? I was right. So my pushback all along was not about 6 teams. I actually think 6 teams would be perfect. You give 1 and the 2 seed some time. And then at that point, you're arguing 7 and 8 that didn't get in. And the reality is, if you look at the playoff, that team doesn't have much of an argument. There's going to be enough either losses or negatives on that team that you can say, you know what, you didn't get in for this reason. This was always my pushback, and I was right. The fact that they're going to go to 12 that quickly, no. They've got their own
agenda,
and they're going to run with that. And it's about money. It's not about protecting the sport and what makes this sport. There's a lot of things that make this sport great. If you really look at it and know it, the regular season is part of that. It separates it from every other sport out there.
Yeah. The NCAA doesn't have a moral compass. They have a money compass.
And they don't care about protecting what makes it, what separates it maybe from other sports.
They're just covering their behinds and trying to make as much money in the meantime. How it would work, it says here, the basic thought from Pete Thamel says that automatic bids would go to the five major conferences, which also juices up their league title games as play-in games. And one bid would go to the group of five champion. I don't even know how you determine it. I guess the highest ranked team out of the group of five. So that's your six. You got your six spots coming from the Power Five conference champions and one group of five champion. And then the other six spots are going to be at-large bids.
Okay.
Based on Pete Thamel's hypothesis here in his piece, he said that gives automatic bids to some of the have-nots and more potential spots for more powerful leagues, and compromise is important in a vote where consensus is needed. So you'll get – the SEC is going to love this because they're probably going to have three teams in the top 10 or something like that. So they're going to love it.
The Big 12 should have more than three if you look at the Pac-12 and some of these other conferences.
The Big 12 and the Pac-12 are going to love it because they need more representation. And this way you may get a team that usually is on the outside looking in from the Pac-12 or the Big 12, weaker conferences that could slip in there, right, on the back end of these at-large bids. The Big 10, it'll just go along with it because it's just more money for the Big 10. And the Big 10 is all about straight cash, homie.
Yeah.
And the Big 10 has been represented very well in the college football playoff. They don't complain. And the ACC, because of the Notre Dame connection now, they'll be cool with it too. They're like, no, well, we got Notre Dame as a kind of our a partner here in this thing.
A partner, even though Notre Dame won't be part of the ACC.
It won't be part of
the ACC. But they're still playing five teams.
They consider them to be a partner and all that kind of stuff. So I think they'll get all the Power Five conferences to vote on it because they all have their own agenda. They all have their own motive for doing so.
And none of it has to do with what's great, better for the sport. Or
No. It's all about how much money I can get in revenue.
We can have that argument.
Yeah.
But it doesn't end at 12.
And I don't.
It doesn't end at 12, no matter if you're arguing for expansion. Not 12.
Yeah, I would say that they're looking at this could help save the bowl season, right? We know bowls are losing their profitability, losing their relevance because of the college football playoff, but also because players are skipping bowls now.
Right.
Not just players who are being drafted in the first round. No, guys who are undrafted.
That's probably your best argument.
Who are skipping bowl games. So now you'll at least get some of those players who decide, oh, you know what? That's an important game. We're still in the playoff. I'll play in that game. And also.
So you're saying Capital One would be one of these games?
Yeah. One of those bowls who are, they're not college football playoff bowls, but they're right there in, you know, we've got a right outside of that group, but they're not the bottom level of the bowls. Those bowls, because I'm assuming 12 spots, so they'll have, you know, extra games.
Yeah.
They'll need to have the first round, you know, second round, you know, and then championship round. So they'll have more games, more bowls, more relevant bowls.
All right.
But that's no reason.
Do you think it should be 12?
I've always been for expansion of the playoff.
12?
I have no problem with 12.
Really?
No, I have no problem with it.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think it'll end up hurting the sport overall too much.
Water down the regular season. We know that to some degree.
Yeah, it will, but I think people are trying to stop the inevitable when it comes to college football, which is the separation of the have and have nots. It's going to happen. It's happening. They literally called them the group of five. It's already happening.
Yeah.
This is going to further exacerbate that. Name, image, and likeness will further increase that divide. It's just happening, and people are trying their best to mitigate that and to try to stop that expansion. I'm not saying I like it. That's just the reality of it.
It's just the reality of it.
And it's unfortunate. It's in every aspect of college football now. It's just separating.
Interesting Rod's rant there. Rod's rant of the day. There's always something there, and you got me fired up. You got me to walk out.
I know you don't like that. I know you've been adamantly opposed to it.
And I'm okay with expansion. Six,
you just don't. 12 is too much.
Not 12.
12 is too much.
Not now. Not yet.
But if it's not now, then
and no, when?
No,
when I say not now, 45 years, when hopefully I'm either not here or just not paying attention.
There's an argument to be made that the Power Five schools, the 65, whatever, plus Notre Dame, that they will actually get better and that they will have more talented rosters in the future because of the transfer portal? Because schools, once you get a good player at New Mexico State, he ain't going to stay there.
No, he's gone.
He's coming to Texas.
Yeah.
Right? So these rosters in the Power Five are actually going to benefit from the transfer portal and benefit from this separation of the half and the half.
You can miss on an evaluation and it doesn't hurt you.
It doesn't hurt
you
as much. Exactly. Your bust rate doesn't hurt you as much. So there's an argument to be made that the number 12 team now and the number 12 team in 5 years will be very different.
Interesting.
You know what I'm saying?
If anyone's going to build that argument, it's going to be you. A good rant of the day there. Off the record, number two is coming up next. We have a lifetime Longhorn who's got some backup plans for his dating life.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. All right, this is another edition of Off the Record, kind of. Okay, this is about KD, the Slim Reaper. All right, my man, Durantula, as he's also named affectionately. So
that's a great name.
That is a great name. He's so long and lanky. But this is about a porn star. So it's pretty interesting stuff. So Lana Rhodes, anybody know Lana Rhodes, porn star? Anybody?
I do not.
She's hot.
She hot?
Yeah. She's the real deal. Don't click that link.
Be careful on the work computers there, KD.
Don't click that link.
Hey,
just type in Lana
Rhodes.
Go to the Google Images one and you'll be fine.
Wow,
that way you'll
came up quickly here.
Oh, yeah. Everybody knows. She's pregnant now, too, by the way.
Okay.
She just announced that she was pregnant.
She filming that stuff?
No. Everybody's kind of wondering who the baby daddy is because she is a porn star. I'm not just calling her a porn star. Like, she is an adult actress. But she's gorgeous. She's fantastic. I haven't seen much of her work. But
you've seen some.
I think I have seen her, but I didn't know that was her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not looking for Lana Rhodes when I am searching the adult entertainment options. But some people do. Yeah. She is nice.
Are those two strawberries on her right cheek?
She's got some skill, man. She's got some skill. So apparently she went on a podcast here. And I've never heard of this podcast, but it's called Three Girls and One Kitchen.
Okay.
I don't even know what's the
two
theme.
Two hearts, not two strawberries.
Three girls. Yeah.
Is it called Three Girls, One Kitchen? Is that what it's called?
It's called Three Girls, One Kitchen podcast.
Oh, that's funny. That's
I remember the Two Girls, One Cup thing.
That's what it's playing off of.
I wasn't sure if that's where they were going, but it's kind of a stretch.
What was that again? I kind of remember that. Wasn't it disgusting?
It was disgusting.
Weren't they?
I don't even know if we can talk about them already.
You know what, Katie? Why don't you just look it up and watch it while we're talking about it?
Don't Google it on this screen that I'm looking at because I don't want to see it. I think everybody had to watch it at one point.
That was a rite of passage in like the early 2010s.
It was.
This was disgusting.
They like took it offline, right? What are you doing? Take that off the screen. That's all you got to want to look at
Give
that.
Me back
what
Rhodes.
Are you doing?
Give me back to Lana Rhodes.
Please. I can't believe you did that. Now I can't get that image out of my
serious?
Head. Ugh. God, disgusting. Okay, anyway, Lana Rhodes.
So, look, I
know.
I don't care what people do, but that's wrong. But that's wrong.
Sure.
That's too far.
I'm not going to judge anybody for doing something freaky.
Nope. No one else wants to see it, though. That's
what
exactly. I don't want to see it.
Guess what?
And Katie going to pull it. I literally said, don't pull it up. Katie pulls it up.
That's where I draw the line.
I think we all draw the line there.
I'll judge on that. There's not much else. I will judge on that.
I actually had some teammates, allegedly, that were into that kind of stuff.
Oh, God. That's the worst.
Some teammates that were into that kind
I'm
of stuff.
I'm guessing they were Lions because y'all didn't win.
Remember,
much.
There was allegations that Odell Beckham Jr. was kind of into some stuff like that. Remember? Anyway, I'll continue here with the Lana Rhodes story. But that was, I think Odell Beckham said that was false and fake. It was fake news. Okay, Three Girls, One Kitchen.
That's a bunch of crap.
Well done.
Just Three Girls. Trying to figure out exactly what we're talking about here.
She was on Three Girls, One Kitchen and revealed that after a game, basically that a member of the Brooklyn Nets flew out Lana Rhodes and her friends to New York.
Was it Azaleas online?
and she did not reveal what Nets player it was. She just revealed that he was a Libra. And people did the research on their own. The only Libra on the roster for the Nets is Kevin Durant.
Oh, there's only one.
There's only one Libra.
I love that's so funny. So
and she
it
said he was a Libra.
She's all about the sign. Yeah. So she already knew what his sign was.
She did. She revealed that, and then people went and did the amateur investigative research, and they found out it had to be KD. Anyway, so Lana Rhodes and her friends flown to New York, all right, allegedly on KD's dime. And apparently they all went to dinner, and the unnamed player, she called him, invited what she called a backup option. So, yeah. So KD flew.
Explain that.
She claims he brought a contingency plan.
Plan B.
Like to the date with her. So
he didn't like her?
So allegedly invites the porn star and her friends out, flew them up to New York, invited them out. They went to dinner. He brought another woman with him.
Now, was it a
bad? That is. Pimping ain't easy. But it sure is necessary.
Man, that's a tarantula.
It is a tarantula move.
Hope you don't run into that black widow.
Wow.
Now, was it a backup plan, or was he hoping maybe that they would all...
That's what she...
All
she,
enjoy each other by the
that
end
he
of the
also
night.
Could have had that note that he wanted okay. them to get to know each other so they can all get to know each
he
other.
He wanted a deep roster. A deep bench.
Yeah, if you want to call it that. Yeah. Maybe he's an orgy guy.
Maybe he is.
Some people are like, maybe he's trying to catch Will Chamberlain in championships, points, and off the court.
I can't be an orgy guy.
Will Chamberlain was definitely an orgy guy.
Yes,
he had
was.
To be. Just yeah. for those numbers alone, you're yeah. going to get there banging one
he
woman
didn't have
a day.
Enough time.
Yeah.
He had to make it time efficient.
He had to be economical
he
about it.
He probably got to the point where there was no way it was going to be one-on-one.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Right? Even no, if it yeah, was yeah. perfect, it's yeah. like, no, I need to have
any, yeah.
four other chicks.
Go get
in
your
there.
Friend.
Yeah.
Just go get your friend.
Yeah, please.
So, yeah, she's claiming that KD brought a backup plan there and that she was bored. She said, he's not spicy enough for me, she said. The date was really boring. I don't want to be mean, but me and this guy just didn't click, she said.
I can understand that.
Yeah, so she didn't divulge his name.
He's
she just
too
said
normal
he was a Libra.
For her.
Pretty much, like
she's
I think,
a porn star.
Yeah, exactly. Like her Tuesday ain't the same as your Tuesday. Even if you're an NBA player,
no, it's
she
not.
Gets wild. She gets down. So, but he brought a date there. I think he wanted to get wild with her, and she obviously wasn't entertained enough.
Did she talk about doing anything? Because remember when Jimmy Garoppolo went out with that porn star?
He did go out with a porn star.
And
once.
Lana Rhodes is hotter than that.
She's too. Hotter than that one. Yeah, Jimmy yeah. chose a porn star that looked like she was had been ridden.
Looked like a porn star.
Rode hard and put away wet.
Right. But she talked about after. She said, he's the only guy who maybe call quits. Like, have me. I'm about to use
course.
What she gave.
Yeah. Of course you'd leave the porn industry for a franchise quarterback in the NFL.
Right. No, well, no. She was saying, she wasn't saying she left him for that, but that
no,
night.
No, she would leave the porn industry for him.
She would, but that night she had to tap out is what she said. He's the only guy who ever made her tap
oh,
out.
Oh, really?
He's the marathon man.
Oh, good for him and good for her then.
Yeah.
So, well.
I wish she'd be better on the field.
KD wanted to try to get Lana Rhodes to tap out, but nothing to it. There you go.
She should have brought plan B.
What?
She should have brought a plan.
Yeah.
You mean like birth control?
No, I meant no. another
like
man.
Like Kyrie Irving or something
oh, sorry.
Like that.
No, that's all I meant. No.
I should have been like plan B.
No, not plan B. A contingency plan.
Oh, I'm just God. Saying. What do you mean? Is that what they other saying?
Brought you here for a
day after pill or something. I didn't know.
What about prop B? No, we're not about plan B right now. Damn it. Yeah, she's good looking. So she's preggers now, huh?
Yeah, they don't know who the daddy is. And it ain't KD. Well, we don't think.
It doesn't sound like it.
It didn't sound like she was really
what
bored.
If it's James Harden.
He does like strippers.
He does.
He's
that's
a
what
big
I'm saying.
Fan of strippers.
He,
yeah.
He'd be about that. Be all about that.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, you know what? Good for KD. I'm happy for him.
Oh, I would date porn stars if I was KD. I wouldn't like marry one, but I'd definitely date them.
Oh, you dated strippers, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, but strippers and porn stars are not even close to the same thing, not even in the same universe.
Actually, they
no,
are.
No, they're not.
There's a lot
no.
of them that actually kind of commingle.
You know strippers. You don't know a lot of porn stars.
No.
There you go. That's the difference.
I don't.
Well, that you know of, because OnlyFans now, porn star could be next door.
Oh, God.
Wearing a mask.
Yeah.
That's
be,
true.
Could be like someone's aunt.
Should be teaching at your school, which has happened.
I missed out on those days.
Hot teachers?
Yeah. Yes.
We had a couple.
One, we didn't have that many hot teachers. And two, they're just that was never a possibility. Certainly not for me. Maybe it was going on and maybe we just know about it now.
Nah.
But I got a feeling that we not only know about it
it's
now.
It's a new thing.
But it's also a new thing.
It's more prevalent
now. It's a lot more prevalent.
Yeah, just
and some of
teachers.
That is that all of a sudden you've got 22-year-olds.
Miss Brittany? Yeah, Miss Brittany instead of Miss Kreiner. You know, Miss Amy, Miss Ashley. I go to a school now, and all the teachers, like, they call them by their first names and Miss whatever. I'm like,
Miss Kaylee.
Then they're all hotter because they're Miss Kaylee.
Yeah, because they're 23.
You should have to be 30 to be a teacher.
They're not 61 with a mole and a unibrow and these weird Birkenstocks with pantyhose.
Exactly.
Hope I didn't nail that too much.
You did. You nailed it. Miss Houston.
Miss Houston. Yep. That's fantastic stuff. All right, we're 3 hours down. We got 1 hour to go. Up next, we're going to talk some NFL. Could Dallas be adding a Pro Bowl-type player? And what the hell is going on in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers? We'll get to it up next.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. You can always watch the Triple Option with RBKD. You can go to hornfm.com, tap into the Twitch stream there. A little KD karaoke happening right now. It is the Bat Tuesday, but BK is out. So my man John Reichel doing a great job twisting and tweaking the dials, choosing the music in and out of the breaks, and just got an 80s vibe going. KD recognizes the song. I do not.
So it's weird how there's that little shift there because you hear it all and then it goes, and then all of a sudden you hear the main, I guess, what is that, chorus or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the first verse.
First verse, yeah. And it, which is very 80s.
So 80s.
This has 80s written all over it. Who sings this and what's it called?
You don't know who sings this.
I don't know who sings this.
I'm surprised about you, Katie.
It's someone I like, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. I'll give you a hint. It's an artist I've played during the show.
Time, and when I'm around, John,
I recognize the song, but I don't know who sings it.
Out of Touch by the man Hall and
Oates. Oh, no, of course it is.
We literally just talked about how they were underrated, and then I basically proved it right there.
I know.
Underrated they are. I know the song.
Hall and Oates.
Didn't know they sang it.
Hall and Oates is great.
Hall and Oates is great. So we've all now sang Hall and Oates on the show today.
We have.
I had to get turned in.
John just did it there. It takes you over, man. It overtakes you.
John was the best at it, actually.
John was easily the best at it. Yeah, we were horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, my voice is
John,
just...
it's not that big of a compliment. It's more digging on us.
Yeah, my voice is annoying anyway. Imagine it singing, though. So it gets even worse. So
your voice is not annoying.
Trying to sing it would be.
Stop doing that.
What do you mean?
Stop doing that to yourself.
What are you talking about?
I'm backing you up here.
Don't be backing me. I don't need you to back me up. I got this.
You did say you would choke slam Bucky earlier. So.
And I, for the record, I'm saving that soundbite, too.
Yeah,
that
you
would choke
should.
Slam Bucky?
Save
Please.
That.
Tell him.
Tell him.
No, I just mean like people say I sound like Kevin Hart. That's all. Doing sports radio.
Kevin Hart's funny.
Kevin Hart is funny.
There you go.
There you go.
Kevin Hart's talented. He's he's good.
I don't know if it's the voice that's making him all the money, but yeah, Kevin Hart's talented.
And by the way, that's racist.
What? What's racist?
Pick a white guy.
That I sound like?
Yeah.
I don't sound like any white guys. I sound like everybody who tells me who I sound like a black guy. Avery Johnson.
You say flabbergast more than any of the other two white guys on the show.
I do use flabbergasted a lot. No black man uses that word.
No, that's pretty white.
Ned Flanders white. all right, let's get to a couple of NFL items that I thought were pretty interesting. First, let's start with the Cowboys, and then we'll get to the Aaron Rodgers stuff, because let's hit what's closest here to home. So I saw this. At Blogging the Boys, they do a really good job covering the Cowboys. They had an excerpt, a piece from a Chris Collinsworth podcast. So he had Mike McCarthy on his podcast, and Chris Collinsworth asked Mike McCarthy about defense. He was asking him about Dan Quinn. And then he got into Dan Quinn's history with Richard Sherman, who, by the way, is still a free agent right now.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, he was with your 49ers most recently, and now Richard Sherman is a free agent.
Was with Dan Quinn in Seattle.
And he was a part of that Legion of Boom defense, where Dan Quinn was the architect up there in Seattle most famously. So the question from Cosworth was, how do you feel about the back end of this defense, and is there a possibility of my guy Richard Sherman, who does this podcast with me, he's some guys like that are still out there. Or are you still in the market a little bit? Here's the answer from Mike McCarthy. Quote, well, the one thing we talk about all the time, we're always looking to upgrade and to add. There's no question there. But also the salary cap, what's in front of us, too, is something that we're very focused on, too. And I think that's why you saw 11 draft picks was by design and to be able to select. We had 10 going in, but to be able to have 11 selections this year was very important just in the big picture, in the long term planning for our roster development. So, yeah. We're always looking, but I definitely love the competition that we have in the back end. It'll be fun to see how this all sorts out, end quote. He didn't answer a damn thing. He asked him about Richard Sherman specifically. He starts rambling on. He's really good at coach speak, but he did not answer the question.
That was political right there.
Very political. He never even mentioned Richard Sherman. So to me, I don't think they're bringing in Richard Sherman. I think they should. I brought up Richard Sherman. Man, I might have brought him up a couple of months ago.
You did.
Even before the draft, saying, I think they should bring in Richard Sherman, not to play corner, because I get it. They want youth at the cornerback position. They want speed. But how many times in NFL history have we seen really great Hall of Fame corners switch positions toward the end of their career and end up being great safeties? I don't know if they become Pro Bowlers. Sometimes they do. But they become really good safeties at the end of their career. We all know Richard Sherman is a very intellectual player. Of course, he went to Stanford. Played on both sides of the ball at one point at Stanford.
Started a receiver, I want to say.
Started out at receiver. That's why he's got really good hands. End up being one. He's a Hall of Fame corner, too, by the way.
He is. By the way, Rod Woodson's your best example of that. Rod Woodson.
Charles Woodson.
When we were growing up. And then Charles
Woodson.
Charles
did it, too. Yeah. I mean, we've seen it happen over and over again. But you're right, Rod. Oh, such a great. With the Ravens.
Yeah.
Right?
It was with the Steelers as a corner.
Yep.
Was always on those Saturday shows when they were running sprints. And they even did the basketball, which I loved. Mark Henry was part of that.
He was. There's an old clip of Mark Henry dunking, I think, right?
What was that called?
I forget
that. Help me out.
Shout out to Mark Henry. I believe he did have his AEW debut. I didn't see it, All Elite Wrestling. But I believe he's doing broadcasting and coaching.